Share the blessings of the night.
If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you. We love you. Thank you for the birds outside the window. Thank you for all of your creation and for reminding us each Sabbath that you are our God. Thank you so much for your love and your long-suffering and your gentleness. Thank you for sending your Son to walk a mile in our shoes to show us how it's done. Thank you for counting us worthy to be alive in these last days, to share your truth at the most climatic state of the church in all history. And thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, those that help us do this work. Because, Father, we don't ask man for help, we ask you. And so thank you for sending them. And thank you for blessing us with friends in Christ, because we never asked them. It shows us that your people hear your voice. It also shows us that you hear our voice too. So we lift up all those that are on our prayer list that are in need, especially those that are lost. I lift up my wife and her health issues. And I pray for her healing and my healing as well with my health issues. And I thank you for making me feel a lot better. And her too, because prayers were answered pretty quick. But just in case something's happening, we thank you for your hedge of angels. We lift up Brother Gary's mother. I don't know what's going on there, and all I know is that there was prayer, a prayer request. And so we're praying. I also lift up Brother Rick's son, Mark, who's in danger, and for the family of Mark's friend out in Afghanistan that died. And Amanda and David's friend, Steve, who lost his wife. Cecilia's sister is in extreme danger, as are those two little kids that Sister Jean knows. Thank you for these hedges of angels that you're always having about us, Father, and keeping us safe. And Father, we lift up all the brethren, all the church family that's doing the work. There's a lot of them out there, Father, and it would be an injustice to name just a few. There's just so many now doing it. And we see your hand moving. And we see the church growing. And we lift up Brother Roberto's little brother, Mo, who's in danger with the law for a crime he didn't commit. He was accused of something he didn't do by a friend. And Brother Rick in South Carolina, who has health issues, and Lady Piper in the Philippines, or I don't know if she's in the Philippines, but Craig and Aid in the Philippines have sent a request. Sister Alicia with her back pain. Sister Lee is feeling under the weather right now. And little DJ, thank you for blessing him and the way you're turning that little guy around. And Clive and Kim for guidance. And Emmanuel's aunt, Mabel, and Sister Kara's husband, for the work that that family needs so that they can continue to survive. Thank you for letting them go through the trial, Father, and giving them the strength to endure it. Scott and Ellen's friend, Tracy, and Yee's friend, Natalie, and that little six-year-old girl, Savannah, with that large tumor that Michelle knows. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, and we know that you hear them. We have seen so many miracles over the years. And thank you for being with us when we gather in your name, as you promise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I was just thinking, since the prayer list has gotten to such a pretty good list, and we usually have new requests every week, and sometimes it's getting big. I'm thinking that you know, we'll take the time to mention everybody on the list when we start the service at this time. But doing that every time we pray is going to be a little, you know, a bit much. So we'll have our little prayer thing now, and then at the end, and then at the beginning of the church service, we'll just mention the prayer list in general. Because most everybody that's wanting prayer anyway always comes to the Sabbath study anyway. So anyway, let's get to it. Thank you for being here again. Praise the Lord. And everybody that's on the radio and on the phone. I think Brother Henry can't be here for at least until he gets that computer fixed. And I think Sister Lynn's got... Oh, no, Sister Lynn made it in. Praise the Lord. So whatever problem she had with the computer, the Lord's taking care of that. So, okay, we're in... we're in still in Great Controversy, page 77. And we're starting right there at that little yellow line. For those of you listening on the radio, it's the second, well, actually, it's the first paragraph on the page. There's a sentence above it, but it's a dangling sentence from the page before, if you actually have the book. All right. Yeah, let me knock the bandwidth down to about 11 here, just in case we get packed up like we did last week. We are presently looking for other chat software, but it's not, you know, it has to be able to be run on our server, only our server, and cross-platform operating system platform, you know, like a flash. And we have to be able to browse inside the chat room, otherwise I'm not even going to look at it. You know, I mean, I'll check out the websites, but if it doesn't have the features, that's it. I get rid of it. Oh, there's some distortion with the bird in the background. Is anybody having a problem with the bird in the background? Because they have a tendency to sit in that tree back there. No? Not at all?
Okay. Because I got the gain down pretty low. I'd have to, pretty soon I'll have to, it's a condenser mic, so it's going to pick up pretty good.
I don't know if there's any, is my voice coming through distorted? It will if there's something wrong on your end with the speakers. Okay. Yeah, because if you get a tear in the speaker or something like that, it's going to crackle. It may crackle anyway. All right. When Rome at one time determined to exterminate the hated sect, a bull was issued by the Pope, condemning them as heretics and delivering them to slaughter. This reminds me of that quote I put on the blog the other day about how the Vatican hates Bible societies and they should be destroyed by all means. A church. It is funny. I mean, a church that claims to be a Christian church says Bible societies should be destroyed at all costs, by all means. A church. And what gets me is the people in that church don't see that. I mean, you don't have to be a water-walking Christian or even a babe in Christ to see the bluntness about that. But some people choose to ignore it because they love the sin so much. So that's what you're dealing with. Like a lot of times for those of us that evangelize Catholics, you know, the grand majority of them that you come across, they're going to have a mindset that they're just pagans at heart. I mean, they're very, very hateful and angry, and they'll accuse you of hatred when in fact they're using the foul language and the name calling, and they're shoving you and just trying to get your dander up, and all you're doing is sharing love, and they accuse you of hate. The Vatican has taught them that's how the Vatican's always worked. They always blame somebody else for what they are doing. And it's just like a little kid in a schoolyard. You know, they always accuse someone else of doing what they did. You know, to pull the onus off of themselves. Oh, praise the Lord. We got to put that on the praise list, Yee-Yee. So if somebody could, the Lord answered prayer in regard to Natalie. She's feeling much better and she turned around. No more thoughts of suicide and stuff like that. So she's been house confined for years and now she's planning a trip. So the Lord has answered that prayer in a big way. And so now you see why we pray. You know, I was just thinking about that last night, too, as I was going into prayer for some friends and even siblings. I mean, I pray for my kids all the time and my siblings, but once in a while, the Lord moves me to mention them by name. And boy, there's a lot. Because I got 10 siblings and 8 kids, okay? And that's not counting grandkids, daughters, and granddaughters, and grandsons, and nieces and nephews. And so the reason he moves some of us to pray for them is because no one else is. No one else is praying for them the way we do. No one else understands the truth the way we do. So, but the Lord winks at their times of ignorance too. But with my siblings and that, it's mostly no one praying for them because it's just the way we were brought up. So, continuing, it says they were not accused as idlers or dishonest or disorderly, but it was declared that they had an appearance of piety and sanctity that seduced the sheep of the true fold. Therefore, the Pope ordered that malicious and abominable sect of malignants, if they refuse to abjure, to be crushed like venomous snakes. That's on page 16, chapter 1. I guess something's, I don't know. What does the B and the CH stand for? I always, you know. Hold on a second here. Let me copy this. I'm going to put that on the Words of the Beast page. Hold on. I just don't want to lose it. I'll just put W-O-B in the section, subject line. I'll look that quote up later and try to figure out what that CH stuff means. Bookend chapter? That's possible. Yeah, bookend chapter. Book 16, chapter 1 of Wiley's. He must have had a series of books. All right, continuing. Did this haughty potentate expect to meet those words again? Did he know that they were registered in the books of heaven to confront him at the judgment? Now, this is what's so sad, because a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, every idle word, I don't know if she's going to mention that. No, she doesn't. Well, at this point, she doesn't. But every idle word, man, will be held accountable for. And so she quotes, of course, Matthew 25:40, wherein it says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren," said Jesus, "ye have done it unto me." This bull, or document that the Pope puts, it's called a papal bull. They all got all sorts of weird, strange terminology, you know, like canon for scripture and stuff like that. But anyway, this bull, this papal bull, called upon all members of the church to join the crusade against the heretics. And by the way, March 12, 2000, in the Mea Culpa of John Paul II, where the Vatican and a lot of prelates actually stepped forward too, to not only admit killing 500 million Christians, some of the prelates stepped up and talked about killing babies in the womb, abortions. And you know how the church was involved in some of this. I mean, well, there's a lot of Roman Catholic hospitals out there that commit abortions too, but only when they get caught do they stop and they go, "Oh, we had no idea we was doing it," you know. Too much money in it for them. But anyway, on March 12, 2000, when they did all this so-called apology to the world for killing all those people, in the same breath, the Vatican called non-Catholics heretics. So they haven't changed anything, nor will they. They will never change. That's why they have to be destroyed. When that eastern sky splits, the Lord, or even before the eastern sky splits, we're going to see the smoke rising up from the Vatican, and all the world that's been gathered together and committing fornication with the Vatican, they're going to start weeping and moaning because they see the smoke rising, as the book of Revelation says. So, that page is locked in. They should be able to see it when they come in. But, okay. So it goes on to say, as an incentive to engage in this cruel work, it absolved from all ecclesiastical pains and penalties, general and particular. It released all who joined the crusade from any oaths they might have taken. It legitimized their title to any property they might have illegally acquired, and promised remission of all their sins to such as should kill any heretic. Let me stop there, too, because this reminds me of the claim, the St. Bartholomew's Massacre. I remember reading an article about this, and I put it on the website somewhere, so I really couldn't tell you where it's at this point because there's so much on there. That's why I got that little search engine built into the website. I use that a lot. even though I built the site, because I can't remember where everything's at. And it's just the nature of the site. I'm not going to call it the beast. But this thing with the St. Bartholomew's Massacre, they told the Jesuits, that the other Jesuits, you know, the main Jesuits told, or I don't know if it was Jesuits at the time, I think they came around in the 1200s. I can't remember exactly, but all I remember is the Pope told those under him to go and kill as many as they could in the city. And they even had a painting praising what they did in the Vatican, a big, beautiful painting about this massacre, that they killed all these people, and because they were heretics. And he says, you got to get back here before sundown so that I can absolve you of the sin of murder. You know? And this also reminds me, like with the illegally acquired land and stuff like this back in the day, this eminent domain that you see going on in the United States of America, they do what they want. If they want your house to put in the freeway, they'll take your house 30 years before they even have the blueprints for the freeway. They'll just say they're going to be putting in a freeway. And this is the nature of that beast. So it goes on to say, it annulled all contracts made in favor of Vaduz, Vadu, Vado, Broadway, I don't know, ordered their domestics to abandon them, forbade all persons to give them any aid whatever, and empowered all persons to take possessions of their property. Okay, hold on. Okay, she didn't say, okay, here it is. All right, let me get that. I'm going to put that in that email I'm sending out, too. Because that's modern-day eminent domain. So, going on, it says, this document clearly reveals the master spirit behind the scenes. It is the roar of the dragon and not the voice of Christ that is heard therein. The papal leaders could not conform their characters to the great standard of God's law, but erected a standard to suit themselves and determined to compel all to conform to this because Rome willed it. And this is how politicians work today, too, because if you're a politician and you want to have a career in politics, you best clamor to whatever the Pope would have you do. You beat a path to that man's door if you want to make sure you got your job tomorrow. That's how all the politicians work. Politics was invented by Rome. It adapted and adopted, of course, by Papal Rome. Pagan Rome did it first, and then Papal Rome. So any kind of politics you see going on in the world today, its origin is from the Vatican. This is why every single solitary politician on earth that has any salt whatsoever has stepped into the Vatican and bowed to that Pope. Every single one of them. I remember back about 5 or 6 years ago, they had all politicians on the planet to meet in Rome. And directly after that, we started seeing all these crazy things happening. And eventually, this was about a year, 2 years before the Twin Towers or something. They were planning some big thing, and obviously they weren't going to tell some of the lower politicians about what it was. And they, you know, just to let them know, this is our plans. This is why the grand majority of the people on the planet, the leaders of all the other countries, are bowing to Rome. And the ones that don't bow to Rome are either at war or about to be at war. And by the way, China finally signed the papers in 2008 to agree to bow to the Pope. And can you imagine what the carrot was that was going to dangle in front of them? We're going to lower the economy of the United States. Just thinking out loud. We're going to lower the economy of the United States of America, and then China will become a superpower in regards to economic means. And just look what's going on. I mean, we're borrowing money from China. So, oh, that was a truck
that went by.
It loaded with a bunch of hay.
That was a quieter one than most.
There was one that went by here the other day, last couple Sabbaths ago, that broke the sound barrier. And he backed up and into our driveway. He had to turn around. So continuing, it says, the most horrible tragedies were enacted. Corrupt and blasphemous priests and popes were doing the work which Satan appointed them. There's another truck that just went by, but he has a muffler. That one, that was a good one. Same with the hay in it. So she goes on, mercy had no place in their natures,
The same spirit that crucified Christ and slew the apostles, the same that moved the bloodthirsty Nero against the faithful in his day, was at work to rid the earth of those who were beloved of God. And still, to this day, some people think, you know, whenever she mentions Nero, I like to bring up the fact that people believe that Nero is the Antichrist, when in fact Nero was dead many years before. John was given the vision on the Isle of Patmos from Jesus Christ himself, telling him what the Antichrist would do in the last days. So if Nero is the Antichrist, how is it possible that Jesus shows up years later to tell John what the Antichrist is going to be doing? I mean, even though there are many Antichrists, of course, yes, but Nero wasn't the Antichrist. That is Catholic theology, to pull the onus off of them to fill their pews again. And this is why you see what's going on in California a couple of weeks ago, where that Bible study was shut down. And then large fines were shoved in their faces if they decided to continue on. But then when they saw the public outcry, they decided, okay, we apologize. They have to apologize because there's no law in the books that says they had the right to do that. But there's going to come a day when they do this again and they notice no outcry. Well, there'll be an outcry, but there's so many, the number of true Christians is so low in number that, hey, scream all you want. You can't gather the numbers, and so we're all about the majority now. And so it'll get progressively worse. But then we knew that because we study prophecy. So we're not going to be caught off guard. We won't blame our God for not making us ready. However, if we don't read our Bibles daily, well then yeah, you're going to blame God. It's just the same with everybody. I mean, like when Saul was approached by the prophet and says, why did you do what you did? He goes and he points his fingers at the other guys. Or pointing even back at the prophet, say, look, you took your time dragging your feet getting here. We had to go and do that, which you were supposed to do. It's human nature. Blame the other guy. Continuing and finishing up this page or this chapter of Great Controversy, the last paragraph says, the persecutions visited for many centuries upon this God-fearing people were endured by them with a patience and constancy than constancy that honored their Redeemer, notwithstanding the crusades against them and the inhumane butchery to which they were subjected. They continued to send out their missionaries to scatter the precious truth. They were hunted to death, yet their blood watered the seed down, and it failed not of yielding fruit. Thus the Waldenese witnessed for God centuries before the birth of Luther. Scattered over many lands, they planted the seeds of the Reformation that began in the time of Wycliffe, grew broad and deep in the days of Luther, and it was to be carried forward, and it is to be carried forward to the close of time by those who also are willing to suffer all things for the word of the Lord, or the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1, verse 9. And so, this is our job, is what she's saying here. That's what Scripture says here.
This is our job.
So, let me go now to, we've got a few minutes here, we can start the next page, or better yet, we'll start the next page next week, because we only got 3 minutes left in the hour, and I don't want to start a topic and then roll over. So, let's just end it here, and I hope and pray that you were blessed by what you heard. Be right back.